In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you remember a day when everyone seemed against you? When everything seems to go wrong? When everything you did is questioned by others? Criticized by others? No matter what it is you did, it's wrong? Well, maybe today has started out that way for you already. I hope not, but it's certainly possible. Much of our Lord's life was that way. He was misunderstood time and time again. Sometimes, like the crowds mentioned here today, hounded him and wouldn't even give him time to eat and be by himself. And then there were those, as mentioned in today's gospel reading, there were those who thought he was crazy. And even his own family members, perhaps wondering about, fearing the impressions of the crowd or having their own doubts, went out and tried to restrain him. Come on, let's go back home. The religious leaders, they accused him of being a servant of Satan. And throughout this gospel, and all the other gospels, but especially in Mark's gospel does this come through, the disciples, time and time again, just don't understand him. They just don't get it. So maybe we should ask ourselves this question. Do I understand completely what Jesus is saying? Do I agree with what he's saying, especially as it has reference to me and my life and my behavior? Does everything that Jesus says seem to make sense in today's world? Well, one of the benefits of reading the Gospels and being exposed to the Word is that Jesus has a way of challenging us. Challenging us and the way we do things. You know, like parents do to their kids. Like probably what happened to you when you were a child, and if you were married and have children, what you did to your own children. We do need correcting. We do need change. We do need to understand again and again our Lord the right way. And so the question, one of the questions at least posed in today's gospel is, can we really follow Jesus 100%? His disciples had problems with it. His parents didn't seem to, or family members didn't seem to know what to make of him. The Bible calls him, among other things, the rock, the cornerstone. And the point is that he is the one upon whom we are to build our lives. We can't mold him and fit him to our desires and wants. We're the clay. He's the potter that shapes us. We're supposed to be shaped by him. We are not to change him. Perhaps you've heard that statement. In the beginning, God created man in his own image. And ever since, man is trying to create God in his own image. The opposition continues. The Jerusalem scribes describe him as Satan's agent. They claim that his healings, his driving out demons, was the work of the evil one. That proved that he was in league with them. Well, Jesus quickly showed how illogical their claims were. How can a house stand if one side is opposed to the other? But as is happened time and time again, our Lord couldn't change their minds, their hearts, their wills, because they saw evil as good, and they saw their false accusations of him as being the truth. They claimed that his teachings were the work of the evil one, and so they didn't feel the need for apology, repentance, or rethinking their position. They were right and he was wrong. That was it. And our Lord goes on to say that identifying him with Satan is something that prevents the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, from working in someone's heart and life. Following Jesus, on the other hand, following Jesus is that which allows the Spirit to work change in us. The Spirit and Jesus work together. If you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the Spirit. Judging evil is good, and good is evil, promotes sin. And that's what was going on. Maybe you've heard this legend about Lucifer, the devil. A pastor one Sunday morning noticed in his congregation a handsome young visitor. After worship, the young man stayed on and asked for confession. He confessed to many terrible sins, things that shocked even this pastor, even though he'd heard much of this, many evil things before. Finally, the young man said, "My name is Lucifer. I fell from heaven at the beginning." The pastor responded, "Even so, say that you repent and you can be forgiven." Lucifer glared at the pastor, quickly turned and walked away. He left condemned because he couldn't or wouldn't repent. Obviously, this is only a legend, but it does illustrate the truth. The truth about repentance being the condition for forgiveness. You can't receive forgiveness from the Lord unless you're turning to receive it with heartfelt and sincere emotion. God's forgiveness is available to all, and it's offered to all. But if I can't see my evil and repent, if I can't see the need for myself to change, to be redone, remade, and renewed, then I can't receive that forgiveness. If I turn my back to another person who offers me the hand of friendship, who offers me the hand of forgiveness, if I turn my back on such a person and walk away, I get nothing from that person. Nothing that I need, that I should have. So this is a lesson today, among other things, about the family of Jesus and what it means to be the family of Jesus. His family, as we see them operating here in today's gospel, may have had good intentions in their own thinking anyway. They didn't want to see him embarrassed. They didn't want to be embarrassed by him. And so they wanted to kind of just move him away from all this contention that was developing. His behavior was, to them, at least, strange and puzzling. But even though they had maybe good intentions, they were obviously overstepping their bounds. They were totally misunderstanding him and his mission. Family concern, family correction is good, is necessary. But it can be overdone. Some call this helicoptering, this smothering kind of behavior where the family members are so concerned that the person does right, that there's no allowance for any individuality. Family, true kinship. It's sad but true that sometimes we're closer to other people than we are to our own blood relatives. Maybe some of you know about that. True kinship, then, is less about genetics than it is about shared concerns, such as common experiences, interests, and commitments. And sometimes this commonality comes in a rather surprising and unexpected way. Let's take a look at Jesus' disciples for a moment. They were a very diverse group with very different opinions and points of view. Matthew was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman government. Simon the Zealot was a fanatical nationalist, doing everything he could to fight against Rome. He and some of his followers even assassinated Roman soldiers and officials whenever they could. So these two, Matthew and Simon, should have hated each other, and perhaps did at one point. But they both became followers of Jesus as their master. And so despite their basic political differences, they were bound together by Jesus in love and togetherness. Quite simply and powerfully, though, people can love each other no matter how different they are when they love Jesus. People can love each other when they love Jesus. Now, here's what Jesus said about being part of his family. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. So, let's ask that Lutheran question. What does this mean? Does it mean doing the will of God? Does it mean perfectly obeying the Ten Commandments? Well, the psalm today indicates that nobody is capable of standing guilt-free before the Lord. And that's a message that runs through all of Scripture. None of us can qualify if it means perfectly keeping the Ten Commandments. We can't even keep the First Commandment perfectly. We can't, as Luther would say in his explanation in the Catechism, we can't fear, love, and trust in God above everything else. We just don't do that. So how can we keep the rest? That is not what Jesus had in mind. The will of God is set forth in what Jesus said and did, as we hear it in that familiar passage from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him. The will of God is that we trust and follow Jesus and receive what he offers. That's the gospel, the good news. And it's for everybody. No one is excluded. The family of God has no restrictions about it. Nothing to do with color or handicap or nationality or personality or anything else. All are invited. All are welcome and loved who follow Jesus. It's pretty obvious that our biological families at times will disappoint us, will even hurt us. Sadly, that's one of the realities that we have to deal with in our broken world that we're a part of. Our biological families do indeed at times disappoint and hurt us. And maybe some of you have gone through that. Maybe some of you are going through that right now. But our Lord Jesus invites us to be a part of the family that he makes possible for us. A family and fellowship based on love and forgiveness. Well, as we gather together here in this place, as you are part of the family of God as you gather here, it's pretty obvious that the imperfections that all of us have are going to show up. This congregation, and every congregation, has discord, tension, disagreements, hard feelings. You know that. I know that, after serving here 18 years. That happens. That's how it is with broken people like you and me. But there is something else that we have to know and believe and trust. And that is that with our Lord Jesus, we are given forgiveness, love, and the power of healing. Healing to overcome our brokenness. Healing to overcome our imperfections. That's how it is with the family of God. That's what it means to be part of the family of God. To forgive one another, to work with one another, to support one another, to help one another, to serve one another. Yes, and sometimes to correct one another, but to do it in love, in a spirit that Jesus would approve of. So I pray for this part of the family of God here at First St. Paul's. I pray that this is how it is for you, that you learn more and more about Jesus, that you learn more and more what it means to love him, what it means to be forgiven by him, what it means to share that forgiveness with others. May God bless you and enable you to do that as part of the family of God here in this place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.